Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. Today, we have a lovely guest, and I want to introduce you to life and energy coach, Cece. Cece is the podcast host of That Bitch is Positive, and she's a singer-songwriter. Her debut book, Show Up as Her, is a guide to discovering yourself, your power, and your dream reality. Cece shares spiritual, psychological, and actionable steps to aid readers in committing to their desired self in her book. And we are really excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
So I'm curious, like, what really drew you to becoming a life and energy coach?
I went through a really difficult breakup, and I kept looking for answers somewhere out in the world. I went to shamans, Reiki healers, therapists, and everything just ended up being a dead end. And I figured out, oh, so the answers are not out there. They're somewhere in here, in this little vessel over here. And I started to spiritually awaken by accident, essentially. It was just so much pain, and I do believe that pain can be the portal. And I started to dig into myself and try to get awareness of why I was getting the results I was getting in my own life. And I specifically remember this one moment where I was looking in the mirror, and I was really upset because I didn't like where my life was. I didn't like how I felt about myself. I didn't like the status of my relationships. And I was just looking into my eyes, and I remember having this spiritual download, hearing this voice in my head say, if you got yourself here, you can get yourself out of here. And that is what really motivated me to start reading the books and changing what I listened to and seeking help out there. Yes, because I do believe people are sent on this journey to help us. But I started spending a lot more time in solitude, connecting to my angels, God, myself. And that is what inspired me to then want to help other people when I started to see how much it was changing my life.
One thing you pointed out was that during your journey, you stopped listening to, or you changed what you were listening to.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
So I was just spending way too much time listening to like trash TV or random things on YouTube. And I wasn't keeping my mental garden clean. I really wasn't taking care of it. And I like to see my mind as having gates now, boundaries, and I don't just watch anything, listen to anything. Even with music, some music now I almost like cringe when I hear it, because I've worked at really guarding what I allow into my body, not just food, not just human beings in my energy, but also what I'm watching, what I'm listening to. And I do believe it's had a profound effect on my being. Instead of listening to maybe music that is lower in vibration, I'm putting on frequencies, and you'll notice a very distinct difference in how you feel.
Definitely. And I think that's such a really good, I think it's a really good point and a really great segue for us to talk about negative thoughts. I mean, this is something that we all struggle with. We have a lot of thoughts a day, and majority of those are negative. And most of us, it's so natural, right? It's very normal that you don't stop to kind of question what you're thinking. And like you just said, you know, we absorb or we consume a lot of content that is negative, but it's become so, it's natural. We expect it. We've gone with it for a long time. So let's talk a little bit more about this, because I think that this is such an issue that we all struggle with. We all have a ton of negative thoughts. So can you talk to us about, in general, like how they impact our health, our well-being? Let's just start there.
Okay, yeah. So the way I see negative thoughts is they're just energy. Everything in this energetic universe is energy. How we experience negative thoughts is through our brain, so it's a neurotransmitter, but at its core, it's just energy. And we have to recognize that we're not just broadcasters of energy, we're also receivers. So if we're around certain people or in certain environments, you may notice you feel you're experiencing more negative thoughts, but that's because you're too receptive to the energy around you, and you do have to gain tools, even just visualizing a white bubble around you to protect yourself. Now, why is this actually important? I see thoughts in general kind of like water. Water can be a gaseous state, or it can turn into liquid, or it can turn into solid ice. And the same thing happens with our thoughts. Our thoughts are first kind of intangible. Maybe we have a negative thought here or there, but the more we practice that thought, the more heavy it becomes. And now maybe we're thinking it so much that we're actually starting to cry. We're starting to cry about it because we're thinking it so often that it's turning into liquid. And then eventually, if we keep holding on to this energy, holding on to this energy, it becomes denser and denser and turns into quote unquote ice. But really, it can turn into acne or weight gain or illness because the thoughts are just energy. And energy becomes heavier over time when it's lower in vibration. And it can really affect us mentally, physically, not to mention it's going to affect what you manifest. Because if something is in your dominant thoughts and your dominant feelings, well, now you're going to start to attract from that place.
Yes, and I think most people definitely don't take into consideration the impacts of it's almost like we're kind of on a loop, a mental loop most of the day, and it just becomes normal if you never stop and check your thoughts, right? Like, well, why am I having this thought? Why am I assuming this? I think that's just become natural for humans. What do you think would kind of be the first? Actually, I think actually what I would like to ask you is, when did you notice that a majority of your thoughts were negative? Because I think I'd like to hear about how you particularly started to get a hold of your thinking.
It was after that moment where I said to myself, if I created this life unconsciously by accident, what can I do consciously? And from that point on, it's so weird because you feel like in order to change your thoughts, it has to be this big shebang or something. But really, it was the smallest little decision. I just said, I'm gonna change. I'm just gonna decide that who I was yesterday does not mean it's who I have to be today or tomorrow. I always think if I stepped in a puddle, I wouldn't have a meltdown and stay in the puddle. I would just take my other foot and get myself out of the puddle. And I really just refuse then and still now to stay in places that I know I'm not happy. And it just stemmed from a little baby intention seed of, I'm going to start to change how I'm thinking because obviously it's not working in my favor based on the results that I'm getting in my reality.
And it's a good point that you made, because most of us feel like it's a mountain to climb in order to kind of change our patterns, because that's what they really become. And it is really, just like you said, making a choice, to see things differently and to do things differently. But since this really, for a lot of people, it's negative thoughts are kind of like a pattern. And sometimes there's certain things in our lives that trigger us, right, to have those negative thoughts. What do you think about, or what would you say to someone who is like, well, I'm in a situation and I can't necessarily get out of the situation, but it's like triggering my negative thoughts. Like, it feels almost inescapable in a way.
I would invite them to try to change their perception of it and the meaning they're giving to the circumstance. Because there are certain circumstances where we do have to go to work, we do have to live in this household. And if there's not an immediate opportunity to change that environment, we have to say, if I can't change what's out there, I at least have to take responsibility and control the controllables. Let me shift how I'm creating meaning around this circumstance. To me, that's the number one thing that's changed my life is just changing how I assign meaning. I remember when I was going through my breakup, I couldn't force him to get back with me. Like, there was nothing I could have done. Like, it was over. And so, with that being said, I didn't like the situation, but I said, well, what can I change? Instead of saying this is the worst day of my life, can I actually make it my best? Can this be the thing that propels me forward and gets me the life that I've actually been wanting anyway? Does this have to be the breakdown? Can it be the breakthrough? Is it the setback, or can it be the setup? And you have to realize that every single thought you have has a biochemical reaction in your body, and that's why we have feelings that are linked to our thoughts. So if you can really attack the thought before it's turning into like the liquids or the feelings, if you can attack the thought and change it, transmute it, alchemize it, and make it your own that actually works for you instead of against you, it's going to change how you feel. It's going to change how you manifest as well.
Definitely. And I kind of want to ask you a little bit about your inner dialogue because I think that that is crucial to changing your thoughts. So, how does someone begin to even address their inner self-talk?
So I use and I created a, I call it the 4R system. And the first thing you do is just become aware. So you recognize. You want to start paying attention to what you're actually saying to yourself. Like you said, we're just on a loop. We don't pay attention. We're so unconscious, autopilot, da da da. So if you can just say, set an intention, I'm going to start to recognize what I'm actually thinking about. I'm going to start to invite myself to have awareness. Recognize is step one. Number two, we're going to reduce the thoughts. Most of our thoughts, we were not born with them. We don't actually believe them. We heard it from someone else, and then we allow their projection to become our prediction, and we believe these people. So if you're feeling, I'm not good enough, instead of saying, this is my truth, let's reduce the meaning that we're giving to this. Let's say, well, why do I even think that? Who gave me that thought in the first place? What experience made me think that that was true? Is it even true? Because most of us, honestly, we're just not holding our mind accountable and we're allowing it to run wild. And if your friend was saying these things to you, you would hold them accountable. Hold that damn mind accountable and start to really reduce. So we're recognizing, we're reducing because we're questioning it instead of just believing it. And then step three is rewire. What is the complete opposite statement of what you're thinking right now? And write it down. That's your new affirmation. That's something you're going to be stating to yourself every single day. So if my original thought was, I'm not good enough, my opposite affirmation is, I am good enough. And if that feels too uncomfortable, that's fine. Neutralize it. I'm getting better every day. It doesn't have to be from 0 to 100, but we do want something that can kind of grease the wheels and bridge us to better thoughts. And then this is my favorite step. It's the last step. It's all about reclaiming. And I like to scream and move my body and be like, yes, I am Cece and I am good enough. Because I think that excites your body and almost like shocks your brain into saying, or believing, hey, we're making a change right now. So I might move around my body. I'm going to reclaim my own authority over my life. And I'm going to put this into stone because this is my life. And I'm going to decide what my thoughts are going to be, which we have the ability to do.
Yes, definitely. And I think that's a really good point, especially when it comes to not just your mental health, but like you said, your physical health, like a physical reaction to what you're thinking all day long. So when you started to like implement your own process in your life, what shifts did you notice in your life? What was happening after that, or even during the process?
My one of my best things that happened to me was the extreme waves of emotion that I would feel neutralized. I'm still a human, I'm not a robot. I feel things, but I am very emotional. And so I was having these extreme high highs and extreme low lows because I wasn't keeping my mind accountable. And I would believe anything my mind would tell me. And instead of falling for that mental mind movie, because you know, we go to the movies, and if we see a scary movie, we do jump. We're like, ah, we forget we're in a movie. And we do the same thing with our mental movies. We believe them automatically. And when I started to instead recognize, reduce, really rewire, and then reclaim, I noticed, Well, I don't have to fall for every 3D circumstance I see. I don't have to make the worst meaning and then believe that meaning. I can instead say to myself, well, if I'm not happy, then maybe God's just not done with the situation. Maybe it's still unfolding in a way that's going to work out for me. I don't have to have this terrible meaning and believe it, fall for it, and then feel terrible. So, really, those waves started to neutralize, and I felt my body, for the first time in probably a really long time, was able to get into a more parasympathetic state, that rest and digest, because I wasn't freaking myself out internally.
So some people, I think, like you kind of alluded to today, are comfortable in their way of thinking and they're really afraid to change the narrative, right? Why do you think people are afraid to change the narrative?
I think we like to be comfy. I think we like to stay in the familiar. I mean, at least our ego does, because it
Yeah.
craves familiarity. Our ego thinks that if there's something unfamiliar, that we have a higher chance of dying. It's very
Yeah.
tribal of us to think that. So we have this unconscious pull to stay in the familiar. That doesn't really help. I also think a lot of us are creatures of habit. We like to be good at how at whatever we're doing, and in order to be good at something, you have to do it many different times. I think that what really occurred in my life, and I don't want it to get this bad for other people, but the pain of my comfort zone started to outweigh the pleasure it gave me, and it just forced me to change. I did not have any other choice. And if you're like me and you want to cling on to the familiar, you might put yourself in a position where you don't have any other choice, and that's fine. Let it be and keep moving forward. But I definitely think it's that we're just creatures of habit, and that ego wants to pull us back.
Definitely. I agree. I think there's a lot of fear with trying to see things differently or even having a new experience or taking the risk like things could actually be better. Because if you've had like the same mentality for 20, 30 years, you know, like you said, we're re really comfortable with that. We kind of know what to expect, you know, in our lives because we have the same engine room. You know, nobody's kind of gone up there to make any kind of tweaks. And I think, you know, it's not, life isn't always easy. So there's certain, you know, situations that we succumb to. And I think sometimes what we don't do for ourselves is give ourselves a little bit of self-compassion, you know, with just being a human and living this life. So what role do you think self-compassion plays in really adjusting our inner dialogue and trying to change our thoughts?
It's so important, because at the end of the day, we came into this world alone. We're going to leave it alone. You got to be in your body every single day. You got to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner with yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to be the person advocating for your life. It is your responsibility to find your happiness, to find your joy. And while you're on this journey, we are literally transforming before our very own eyes. We are letting go of the faulty programming that we've learned, that we thought we needed to have in order to be loved and accepted. We're letting go of that, which is scary, because that is also touching on that wound of, well, am I still going to be able to connect to others? Am I still going to be able to get love if I release how I've been and this is all I've ever known? Becoming a new person, of course, is going to be scary at times, because you don't even know how to be this person yet.
Yeah,
Because it's like
exactly.
there's no exact roadmap to how to be your most authentic or most magnetic self if you've never been her before.
Yeah.
And that can be overwhelming, but it is totally in the realm of possibility. And that's actually why I wrote Show Up As Her, my book, is because I figured out, wait, there is actually a way to reverse engineer your most magnetic self. And there is a system that you can have, and you just fill the system out, you make the roadmap, and then you follow it. The answers are within, but it does take time to like sit down, get a pen and paper, and really
Right.
look at that most magnetic self and reverse engineer everything she does.
Definitely. And so with this reverse engineering, I guess my question for you is this a daily practice? Is this something that you address every day? Because negative thoughts always, you know, surface, like a majority of our thoughts, you know, they come in. Doesn't mean we have to own them, but they come in. So How often is this practice, especially, for people who, let's say, they're 50 or 60 and that is what they believe, that's their narrative. Like, how often, if they're trying to like unpack that or untangle that or change their thoughts, like, what would you say, how long would this take? Is this a life, new lifestyle, new, like, what does the work look like?
The same way I have to breathe every single day, I am in touch with my most magnetic self every day. It's a practice, honestly. I like that you said the word lifestyle because it is a lifestyle. It's a conscious choice you have to make every single day. I can decide today to let go of everything I learned and go in the opposite direction. If I so choose, I can do that, but I don't want to do that. But the same way, you got to eat every day, drink water every day, bathe every day. You have to be thinking of who is it that I truly am? How can I unravel the faulty programming that's not who I am, but who I learned to be? And how can I live in accordance with my true center? And that does take constantly checking in with yourself. Do I want to react this way or do I want to respond from my values? Do I want to think this negative thought or do I want to reframe it? Do I want to go down this path? I know if I take this action, it's going to hurt me. Or do I want to put in a little extra work right now, but get better results later? It is an everyday, it could be moment to moment. I think at first it's harder because you're literally creating new habits and then having to learn them. But the more you step into this authentic energy, just like anything else, if you practice it, you'll get better at it and it will become like a second skin. But it's a transition and it's still a choice you I think about every single day.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like, this is a really good point for people who are listening, is that it's an everyday thing, because we're always in a constant state of evolution. And there's, at least from my perspective, there's always going to be unexpected situations in life that are going to occur, right? And it is, I like the way that you said it's the meaning that you give it. And I don't think we stop to think about that. Automatically, if it feels uncomfortable or if it's different or if it's new, we collapse into that fear state, and then the meaning that we attach is negative automatically. But I think it's very rare, because of maybe the culture that we live in. We're not really taught as children to stop, reflect, and flip the script in a way.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important if we didn't get it as a child to give it to yourself as an adult, because you still deserve to live a good life regardless of what you learned. And you deserve to be happy. And it might take work to get there. I mean, it did for me, but it's okay. Like, the good news is you are more than capable and stronger than you realize. And if you put your mind to what it is you want to do, you can change your life. You're changing your thoughts, you're changing your emotions. It's universal law that your life must follow in that change.
Exactly. And I'm kind of curious, when you started to make these changes, did your circle change? Your circle of people change?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Always want to talk about this with people, because it's something that I don't really share, but I'm like, man, my circles have changed over and over again. So I want to know about your circles.
Constantly, constantly. And I struggled with it because I could not figure out. I'm like, how are people still friends with the same people? How do you guys do that? How is it happening for you and not me? I don't understand. I came to the realization that, first of all, I now measure friendships by the depth and the lessons learned rather than the length of them because that was not working out for me at all. And I came up with the term cosmic cancellation, and I truly believe this like in my bones that when you fall out of energetic vibration with someone, when you fall out of vibration with them, they're falling out of your life too. And not everyone, of course, is meant to stay with you forever. And there are people, I believe that we have these soul contracts with other people and we sign up to give one another lessons and help one another through certain experiences. But once you've done that service to one another and there's no other service to be done and your vibration changes, I do believe it's just cosmic cancellation. It's not personal, it's vibrational. You're just no longer in this alignment place, and there's nothing else to be done. And that has helped me also not get upset or angry or mad, but actually look at them and say, thank you for coming into my life and serving me. And I'm happy to serve you too. I can send you off with love, knowing we fulfilled this contract with one another. But it definitely, as someone who struggled with an abandonment wound, it was tough. But you make it out alive. That's the good news.
Yes, definitely. And you made up a really good point here about like the length of your relationships or friendships, because people utilize that as a reason to hold on to other, relationships or friendships that are no longer like they're not serving you and it's not serving the other person, but we still hold on to them just out of loyalty or duty or to the time, the length of time that we've known that person.
I really believe that having a past with someone is just not a good enough reason to have a future with them. And I always think about my puddle. Like, if I'm standing in a puddle, I gotta get out of that puddle. And I had friendships that were from kindergarten throughout high school, a little bit into college, and those all ended up falling away. And it hurts because you think I've had these people in my life forever, but that doesn't mean they're still gonna help you moving forward. And I believe that if we try to hold on to people who are no longer in vibrational alignment with us, we actually can stunt our growth and block our blessings because maybe they want to do activities that aren't for your highest good. And then you're also engaging with those activities. And maybe you feel FOMO every single weekend because you're not hanging out with those people. But I would rather you have FOMO with friends who are not in alignment with you than you have FOMO with your purpose and your divine plan, because that is way more painful.
Yes, I think that people really need to hear this, because we do stick with, again, like people who are familiar, situations that are familiar, we're attached and we're too afraid to move on from that. Even if, like you said, they're not helping us in the long run, and they're preventing, certain blessings or experiences from coming into our lives because we want to stay in that stuck energy because we're comfortable here.
Yeah, and you have to realize, I love the quote that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, because it makes so much sense, because you end up doing the same thing, eating the same thing, having the same activities, hobbies, because you're spending all your time with them. And I also think that when I think of really successful or great people, I imagine that a lot of them had a lot of alone time and solitude to really dig into who they are. And I think that's so important. Like, you came all the way down to planet Earth and incarnated here for you to miss out on your own incarnation and not spend time with you. Well, now we're sounding crazy. We can't do that.
There's one thing I did want to ask you, because I feel like affirmations gets a really bad rap. And I wanted to talk to you about these, because I know this is something you kind of mentioned about kind of flipping the script and making an affirmation. So talk to me about the power of affirmations and how they've kind of worked for you. Because I think people, that it's new, like saying, a phrase or something on a daily basis make people feel kind of strange. But I want you to talk to me a little bit about how this has like changed your life.
So I think that affirmations don't work unless you work them. You gotta look at them, you gotta read them, you gotta have almost like they're your new friends, actually. Like, you have to spend time with them. And what I do is I put affirmations in my bathroom on the mirror. So when I'm brushing my teeth, when I'm washing my face, I'm looking at them. They're in my room. I have a widget on my phone that's the new affirmation every single day. Everything you think and say to yourself, your subconscious mind is hearing. So whether you think it's affecting you or not, it is being impressed upon your body, and it will start to become dominant, and then it will start to manifest. So having affirmations around your room or in places that you know you're going to be, even in the shower, can really actually help you practice them. And the more you practice them, you don't have to believe it at first. It doesn't have to feel like, oh, this is so comfortable. It's not going to be, because it's something that's new. So expect it to be weird. But the more you do it, the better and better and better you're going to feel. And I'll also say, if affirmations aren't your thing, another thing I like to do is look for evidence of what I do want. So if I am trying to get myself in a different state of being and I want to feel like I am really abundant, I'm going to look for things that make me feel abundant instead of looking for the lack that's in my life. More times than not, there will be evidence for everything, but what you focus on will be the loudest in your reality. So I'll look for that really great parking spot. Maybe I get a free coffee or something. I will look for where there is abundance of air, clothing, food, food, everything in my life. And that can also help shift your state of being if you don't love to do the affirmations.
That's a very valuable insight, because I don't think many people, like you said, we focus so much on lack, right? That's what we do a majority of the time, and I don't think we ever stop to, or we wake up in the morning thinking, "I'm gonna go look at all the abundance,"
And it's important because whatever you feed with your energy and your focus, oh, that's going to grow. That's going to grow a lot. So if you want to grow abundance or love or happiness or fun, focus on where that is in your life because it is there. You might little digging, you gotta look for it sometimes a little harder than others. But if you look, you shall find. Look for it and then look for it again and then look for it again. And you can even make a list and remind yourself every day. Well, I am abundant because I have clothes on my back and there's enough oxygen for me to breathe and I have this bed. And you can remind yourself of all the abundance in your life with that list. And instead of having affirmations, you can just look at that.
I think that's a good point too, because that's like making a list of even gratitude, like a gratitude list for what you have available in your life. And I know some people might roll their eyes as I'm saying this, but honestly, I think gratitude is really important when you are trying to like change your outlook or your perspective on life. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that.
And if anyone's rolling their eyes, I would just like to say, look, it's your adventure. You can choose whatever avatar you want, live how you want, baby girl. But if you want to live in a way that feels good, maybe we start looking for what we can be grateful for instead of what we hate about our life. Because, like I said before, evidence for both will be there. But whatever you're looking for, it's going to become so evident and you're going to start to see it everywhere. Like if you thought about a red car, then you start to see red cars everywhere. It's the same sentiment. So even if it feels uncomfortable, even if it feels awkward, gratitude is like the highest frequency that we can really step into because it opens us up to receive even more and more and more. And I always think about when we're grateful and I think about God, I feel like, well, God wants to be near the grateful people because we're happy. He's happy. He wants to give more. And that's just human nature. If someone is constantly complaining about you, what do you want to do? You want to run away. You're like, oh, get away from me. I don't want to hear complaints. So I feel that even just having gratitude invites in my divine spirit team. Everyone's all around me. We're having a little gratitude party together. It just makes you feel better. Then you manifest better. It's a double win. So why not do it for yourself?
Exactly. This kind of reminds me, and I'm going to out my age. So when I was little, they used to have these books called Choose Your Own Adventure, and you read the book, and then you kind of get to choose like what type of ending you would like to have, or the characters to have. And I feel like that's kind of the equivalent of this. Like when you're choosing your own thoughts, you're kind of choosing, your own personal adventure.
Yes. So many yeses that want to come out of my mouth right now. That's exactly what it is. Because at the end of the day, this is your life. You get to create what it is you want to create. There are divine things I always think that are at play that maybe sometimes are part of our plan and not in our control. But for the most part, you do have so much more control than you think. It is your decision. I personally feel it's your responsibility. Like when we go out there and we're creating attachments to strangers because we're hoping they buy us a drink or come up to us or do something so we feel validated, all we're doing is giving all of our power away. If you want to stand in your power, you have to take that responsibility and say, regardless of where I've been, regardless of what I feel right now, regardless of what I've done, the present is where my power is, and I can change everything just by deciding differently, literally right now, right here.
Yes, and I think a lot of people need to hear that, because I think sometimes in life you feel very disempowered. But I think and when people say, oh, let's empower ourselves, I think sometimes that doesn't translate into, well, what does that actually look like? And I think that's what you're speaking to today, is like really, standing in your power by being accountable and responsible for your thoughts. And I'm not sure that everybody approaches it that way, but they should, because like we make our choices.
We absolutely do, and I say that because I at one time wanted to blame everybody else too. It didn't get me good results. So it doesn't work. Like you can, yeah, try it out if you want, but didn't really work for me. I don't think it works for other people either. But when I said, you know what? I'm not going to rely on these outside people to make me happy. I'm not going to rely on these people for validation. I'm not going to rely on them to make my night fun. What if I just relied on myself? First of all, I know how to meet my needs better than anybody else. But also, then I don't have to constantly be scanning every room and looking for who can help me, who can do this for me. I can just do it for myself. And that also makes you really magnetic because you're recognizing and having an awareness that, well, everything you actually need is already within you. And when you broadcast that, oh, everything is drawn towards you.
I think that's very, very beautiful, MCC. I'm so happy that you came on the show today. It's been a really exciting and fun talk and enlightening too.
Thank
And
you.
if people want to connect with you, if they want to find your book, Show Up as Her, how can they?
They can go to my Instagram at Vibin with CC. It's at Vibin with CIICII. And all of my information is there.
Awesome. Well, I would love to have you on again. And this was very great and super informative. And everyone, please take care. Bye, Cece.
Bye-bye.